like to play me latest chart topper. It's called Me Fans Are Stupid Pigs.
The following training video contains performances by highly trained professional criminals.
I think the message to psychos, fanatics, murderers, nutcases all over the world is do not mess with suburbanites because, frankly, we're just not going to take it anymore.
What are you doing out in the middle of nowhere?
Well, I had to get that there crossroads last midnight. Sell my soul to the devil.
What'd the devil give you for your soul, Tommy?
Well, he taught me to play this here guitar real good.
Podcasting live from the Nut House basement, down by the river, across the street from the water treatment plant in lovely Lawrence, Kansas, this is Sunglasses After Dark. My name is Nick, I am your host. This week's episode is a special episode. It is devoted entirely to Traffic Street Records. I spoke with label head honcho Sam North last week by phone. We've got an interview with him that we'll be interspersing between cuts from label releases and things of that nature. So let's get started, shall we? We're going to kick off with a little bit of music, and then we'll go straight into the interview. We'll be starting off with a track from Apocalypse Meow from their Pug Life split with Andrew Jackson Jihad. This is Where Would Jesus Work?
Yeah. Traffic Street Records. I'm kind of curious because, like, I started buying stuff from you, like, last year, and how long has the label been around?
I started lining up releases for the label in September of 2008, and then January of 2009 was when it really started, when records actually started coming out.
Were they friends bands? Were they bands that you liked? A combination of both?
Well, I've been, my friends from back home in Sarasota, Florida, where I grew up for the most part, were in a band called Rational Anthem, and I'd helped them, like, book their tour. We got home, and I moved up to Washington, D.C., and they were asking me, like, what do you think we should do now? And we'd already put out, like, a demo, like, just self-released it, and it didn't seem like a good idea to just do that again. It seemed like we could do that forever. And so I thought, well, I'll put out your next record. And to give it some credibility, it'll be on a label. So I'll start a label, and I'll talk to some other bands that I like, and get some other releases going, so it's not just, you know, so that it's something that people pay attention to.
Like, what number release are you on right now?
Right now, Jonesen's The Dream Is Dead 7-inch is going to be coming out in about a week, and that'll be number 29. And then I've got about another 10 lined up that are all in the works for, like, sometime between now and, like, the last of those that I have planned will probably come out sometime in the spring.
You do kind of, I'm not going to say limited pressings, but, I mean, you don't press a lot of your records.
No, but I think that's probably a good thing because most of them have, I don't really sell, I'd say on average most of them sell about 400, you know, so far. And so since I do about 500 to 600, like, that's been just fine. There have been a few records that I've had to repress, but it's not like the demand has been so strong that I've ever really, like, been behind. The supply has always met the demand.
And you price your stuff really, I'm not going to say cheap, but affordably.
That was kind of part of the game plan from the beginning, just getting people to pay attention. I started the distro along with the label, carrying stuff from other bands and labels other than Traffic Street stuff, and in order to get people to, like, pay attention to it and actually check it out, I figured that I kind of had to keep the prices as low as I could and kind of beat everyone else's prices. I think that's kind of worked. It's made it harder to make back money, but I think I make up for it maybe in quantity of sales. I mean, I get orders every day. I don't know how much other labels really sell, but I feel like it's worked out all right. I'm not too far in the hole financially.
Do you see, like, having other people's records as a way to sell your own, or vice versa, I guess?
Yeah, definitely. Like, whatever, because before I started the label, I still always bought, like, everything. Like, if there was a band that I was marginally interested in, I bought all of their records, because I was afraid of missing out on, like, that one song that was just awesome, and that, like, I couldn't live without. And so I always wanted to have everything. But, when I would buy a record, like, if a new record came out on some label, I would already own everything else they already had at that point. So unless they had a distro offering other stuff for sale, it was like, do I really want to place this order for one record and pay a $3 shipping charge? So labels having distros would, you know, I would purchase more stuff because it would divide the shipping cost between records and make it, you know, cheaper per record. I think a lot of people do that with Traffic Street.
I'm familiar with the idea of that way, you know, if you buy three records and pay $3 shipping, and they're $3 each, then that makes them only $4 each.
And there you go.
One for six. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh,
was noticing something when I was, like, flipping through records, trying to figure out, like, what I was going to play later. Explain the art from the early releases.
I would say, I mean, when I started, I don't want to say that I dislike any of the art from any of the records. I think all of the artwork works. But there are plenty of people who disagree with me, and my only comment on that would be that when I started, I would ask people to, you know, draw up some artwork for a record, and I would feel bad turning anything down unless I thought it was, you know, just, like, absolutely terrible. But if I thought something was passable, then, like, all right, let's go with it. Let's roll with this. I don't want to, you know. If people were doing art for me for free, I wasn't going to tell anyone it wasn't good enough. But now I've definitely gotten a lot choosier, and that's been with both artwork and with music. If a band sends me a song at this point and I don't think it's a good song, then I tell them and I say, you know, like, try again, send me something else. So I think the quality of art and of music has gone up, but I still like everything that, you know, Traffic Street's done so far. The only thing I regret is reissuing that first Rational Anthem demo that kind of started it. That didn't need to be on Traffic Street. That's not even what that band sounded like by the time we got back from that tour, and it was pretty unnecessary.
I've noticed that, like, a lot of those covers, for whatever reason, and even up through, like, the new Creases 7-inch, there's a lot of anthropomorphic animals.
Yeah, that's definitely been a pattern. I don't know how much of that has been me and how much has been the artist. I've definitely contributed to it, like the Saint Sweet Art Unwelcome Guest split 7-inch, like, that art was my concept. The Troublemake Turkish Techno art, that was my concept. I think the new Creases one, that's on Troy, who plays bass in that band. But he originally had sent me something else. It was just a drawing of three members, and I shot that down, and so then we got the anthropomorphic meese, or mooses, or whatever you want to call them, and I was happy with that. So maybe that does say something as to my own preferences as far as that goes.
What's been the best-selling release that you've put out so far?
It's probably been the Andrew Jackson Jihad Apocalypse Meow Pug Life split. I mean, obviously Andrew Jackson Jihad are a lot more popular than a lot of the other bands I do records for, probably because they're one of the only ones that isn't a pop-punk band. But it's not far and away above other records. It's sold maybe 800, maybe 900. But, like, the Houseboat 7-inch, for example, has been out for Pug Life, that split, that's been out for, you know, a year and 3 months now. The Houseboat 7-inch has already sold 500 copies, and that's only been out for 2 or 3 months.
Oh.
And there's a few others that are definitely, like, up in that range. A lot of, like I said, on average, the records sell about maybe 400 copies, like, so far. But plenty of them have sold, like, 500 or, like, closer to 600. So Pug Life's not totally far and away the leader, but I think it is the leader at this point.
And you operate all of this out of your apartment?
Yes, out of my small one-bedroom apartment, which is stacked pretty much floor to ceiling with boxes and, like, you know, just shelves covered in records. It definitely gets pretty cramped sometimes. Whenever I have a run of new releases, like in the end of May of this year, like, 8 things came out at once, and so I had a shipment of I don't know how many thousands of records, that half of which, you know, had already sold in pre-orders or needed to go to distributors. But for a few weeks there, you literally could not, like, find an inch of floor space to step on inside of that apartment.
Taxi cab caught in a night. I know you wanna feel the same beneath your feet. I'll be running on the wall.
anyone like you haven't put out a record from that you really like, somebody that you really just want to work with?
Yeah, there are a few. And all of the bands that fit that category I've talked to, and we have things tentatively scheduled that we're going to do, but in some cases it's been, like, forever. Like, I wanted to do a Snuggle D Landlord split 7-inch, and that's been in the works since before even something came out. I wanted to do a record with Banner Pilot, and we've been trying to figure out something to do for, you know, since day one. You know, I think we have something, but they always go right into their next full-length, and so it seems like there's never a chance to get any songs, but hopefully we'll get something from them in the spring. And then Off With Their Heads also, I'd like to do something with them at some point, but, you know, obviously they've got 8 million things going on. I was told at one point that I could have 2 songs for a split 7-inch in 2012, and that was even a year ago from now, so that was cast off far into the future.
And you balance all of this with law school.
Yeah, I go to school full-time here in D.C. at Georgetown, which is luckily I live only like a 15-minute walk away. And I don't make it to too many classes, so it doesn't take up too much of my time. But it definitely detracts from it somewhat. But I don't know, without it, I couldn't have done the label in the first place. I get I've got most of my tuition covered from, like, scholarships, and then I get Stafford loans, and what's left of the Stafford loans after I pay off the little chunk of tuition left over goes right into the label, because I also have a part-time job at which I make enough to, you know, pay my rent and my bills and buy groceries. So those Stafford loans have definitely helped fund Traffic Street.
Back it up.
I've booked a few tours. I've gone on a few tours. I haven't done too much lately. The last one, I mean, I went with New Creases just for like 3 days a few weeks ago. But that was really just like catching a ride from one city to another. I'd like to go on tour again, but it's been rough. And booking a tour is, you know, is hell. It's so impossible. But I try and help, like, all of my bands, you know, get shows booked in trouble spots, seeing as how from, you know, all of the distro orders and everything, I've got a database of names of and addresses of kids that are into this kind of music, so I can hit up people in, you know, remote places and find out what's going on in their city and maybe, you know, help a band like that.
Do you do any of the fests, like Insubordination Fest or The Fest or any of that?
Like as far as helping bands get on this?
Like helping bands get on it, do you ever make the trek to any of those?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I definitely, Insubordination Fest, last year, or 2009, I got Rational Anthem on. This year, I got Like Bats on it, just scrambling to try and put together a game plan at the last minute when a spot became available because the sidekicks dropped off. But, yeah, and then I also go out to most of them. I've been to, inside the last 2 years, I've been to the fest just about every year. I'm going to Awesome Fest in about a week and a half from now. I went to Windy City Sound Clash this year. So, yeah, I try to get to, whenever there's something like that where there's going to be a bunch of bands that I like all in the same place, I try and get out there, and I try and, you know, bring the distro and sell some records and, you know, just hang out and see a lot of good bands. It's weird. Like, I keep track of, I think I'm a lot more meticulous than a lot of my friends' labels, but, like, I keep track of every penny that comes in and every penny that goes out, no matter, like, what it's spent on. The label's $7,000 in the hole right now. Actually, only, like, $6,000 in the hole. But, when I first started it, $7,000 was the amount that I plugged into it to get the first, batch of releases off the ground. And so, I haven't made back that money, but I've also spent since then, like, another, like, $50,000 or so, and I've made back all of that money. So I'm still just working on getting, like, recouping that initial investment. And, you know, unlike back then when I first accumulated that little bit of debt, now I've got an inventory, you know, with thousands of records. I tried to do the math the other day to figure out what my inventory was worth. And I got up to, like, $15,000 and was like, okay, that's enough. I don't need to know anymore. I'm tired of doing math. But, so, you know, I've got a lot of shit to sell. Hopefully, you know, as more of it moves, hopefully I'll sell more of it than I accumulate as time goes on. But I keep putting out more records, and I keep buying stuff from other distros and labels, and so I keep spending about as much money as I'm making. Even, you know, regardless of how much money is coming in, I'm spending just as much of it right back out the door. So maybe if I slow down at some point, then I can make some of my money back. But I don't know. We'll see. It would be nice to one day break even.
So I guess in the interest of helping you break even, what stuff do you have coming up that people should know about?
Well, the next thing is probably going to be the debut full-length from a band called Sundials. They're from Richmond. They play... It's not quite like anything else that I've really done on Traffic Street so far. It's really stripped down, kind of like indie rock. Kind of like... Archers of Loaf, maybe, but, you know, even further stripped than that is. And, I don't know, I think people that are into stuff like Failures Union and Sheep Girls and all that kind of 90s revival stuff would be really into it. But I don't know, because, I mean, I'm not particularly into that kind of stuff, but I love Sundials, so it's definitely worth checking out in any case. And then, aside from that, most immediately is the new Dangerous Intersections, which is going to have new creases, Vacation, The Transgressions, and Billy Raygun. And then there's An Unwelcome Guest, like that split 7-inch. And that's kind of what we've got coming out in, like, September and October.
Are you ever going to do another one of those massive sort of package deals?
I would like to. I should have done it with all of those releases that came out, you know, at the tail end of May going into June just this year. But the thing is, those all happened to come out in the same week. But originally, like, the way that those were sent off to the plant and everything, they weren't supposed to come out that way. It was supposed to be staggered over, like, at least a month and a half. And then they just kind of all arrived at once. So had I known in advance that that was going to happen, I probably would have done one of those package deals. But I was just too busy with, you know, May is also when school is ending. I had exams, and I had this huge paper to write, and I was just too bogged down to try and, you know, scrap anything together. At that point, I'd also been taking pre-orders for the Houseboat 7-inch for, like, you know, 2 months already, because the band wanted it available digitally right off the bat. And the way we did it was, if you pre-order the record, you get it digitally by email as soon as you do. And so I was just, like, drowning in pre-orders for that and some of the other records, and it was just way too chaotic to try and add anything else to my plate at that point.
We'll be right back.
any words for anybody who wants to try this on their own?
Yeah, everybody always says don't do it. I would say that you should do it. It's a lot of fun. Like, don't expect to make any money. Like, maybe you'll get lucky and make some money. I haven't yet, but, I think if you take it seriously and, you know, you're smart about it and thoughtful, I don't think you're going to fall too far into the hole. I mean, and it's just a great hobby, really. I mean, it's a lot of fun. It's rewarding. You know, it's a nice feeling doing something that, you know, occasionally people enjoy and the results of. So, I don't know. As far as advice on how to do it, I don't know that I do it the best way. But I think the best things that I did do were, you know, going at it like full force right out of the gate to try and get people to pay attention. And then just building up a huge distro that stocks, you know, not just trade stuff with other labels, but, you know, older records that people are already more familiar with that'll kind of pull their attention in. And, but don't overestimate the popularity of any band, at least at this scene, because as I have discovered, just because I think a band is the greatest thing on the planet, it does not mean that anyone else does. On average, like, a distro title sells maybe like 4 or 5 copies. So don't build up too much of a stock on any one thing.
Well, Sam North, thank you for taking the time to talk with me.
Yes, thanks for the interview, and hopefully my answers weren't too long-winded and boring or awkward or anything like that.
No, it was great. Thanks again.
All right. Thanks, Nick. I'll talk to you later.
Once again, thanks to Sam for taking the time to speak with me and give up part of his Friday night to do that interview. You can find everything you want from Traffic Street Records at trafficstreetrecords.com. Shortly after the interview concluded, Sam called me back to let me know that, in fact, the Turkish Techno Troublemake cover idea was stolen from Chris from Rational Anthem, and he'd like to give credit where credit is due. Thanks for downloading the podcast. You can find Sunglasses at After Dark every Thursday morning at rockstarjournalist.com. You can follow me at Nuthouse Punks on Twitter. And We'll be back with you next week with another episode of Sunglasses After Dark. Until then, thanks again.